Okay, the first one is from Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read the first seven verses. I'll just give you a moment to find that if you're looking in your Bible or your app. Okay, Genesis 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Our next Bible reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start at verse 10 and go to verse 17. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 10. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
Thanks, Felicity. Usually we work through books of the Bible here at church, but today we're looking at about 1,000 passages. But it's not a very long talk, so if you want to know some of the passages and you haven't had time to kind of process it as I move through, then ask me afterwards and I'll give you my script. But let's pray. Actually, before we pray, let me read you two more verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you're our strength and our refuge, our comfort. Father, thank you that we can come to you. You long for us to call you Father. Lord, thank you that you speak to us in the Bible and you give us not only guidance for life, but you make us wise for salvation. Father, we pray you'd help us to understand how it is we should live in a world that's filled with New Age teaching. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know how to love people who are caught up in that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In a survey commissioned by the ABC earlier this year, roughly 70% of respondents said they believed in the existence of the human soul. Roughly half of Australians believe in the existence of ghosts, miracles, angels. In fact, only a quarter of the people surveyed thought it probable these things didn't exist. I think it was something like 5% who thought they definitely didn't exist. So that means as a country, around 75% of us are open to some kind of spirituality, which is sort of surprising to me because I grew up in a pretty kind of rational, sort of sceptical household. Obviously, that 75% of Australians aren't all coming to church. I know there's a lot of people in the room today, but probably not 75% of Townsville. So where do they go when they lose a loved one? Or when they face a crisis in their relationship? Or when they need guidance on some part of their life? Well, the answer for a lot of Australians is to see a psychic, a medium, or some other kind of spiritualist. In another article I read on the ABC website, I read more than the ABC, don't panic, it said there are an estimated 5,000 psychics in Australia. Do you know there are like probably less than 500 Presbyterian ministers in Australia? To give you an idea of the scale, every year in Sydney, over 4 days, there's a festival called the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival, and it attracts tens of thousands of people. And the biggest Christian conference in Australia is the Hillsong Conference, and it attracts the same amount of people. So one day, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an Australian Prime Minister speaking at the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival, right? Because it's actually a massive, big, influential part of our culture. People are looking for resolution and peace and guidance, and they're spiritual. Since the pandemic, as with many things, the New Age industry has been forced online, and now more than ever, psychics from all over the world are being accessed. And did you know that roughly 82% of psychics are female, and roughly 80% of their clients are female as well? They go online, and I read of one who for a 45-minute reading would charge $50. Then I read of a bloke who reads palms, not psalms. He practices something called palmistry, usually charges $150 for an in-person reading, but during the pandemic, because he's using photos rather than holding the actual hand, if you send him 6 1-megabyte photos of your palm for $80, he'll give you a 30-page report of your reading. You may have used a psychic yourself in the past. I've certainly got friends and family members who have and still do very much hang off the messages they get from their readings. As Christians, what do we make of this? Well, on the one hand, many of us, like me for a long time, go, that's a load of rubbish. These people are con artists, they're charlatans, they're just really good at, you know, illusion and mind reading, like the mentalists, you know. On the other hand, there are many psychics who don't charge. So what do you make of them? Are they just crazy? What do we make of the whole contacting of the dead thing, the revealing of secrets by psychics that only the person themselves could know? How does that make any sense? What do we do when a friend says to us, oh, I'm seeing my psychic on the weekend, I'm really looking forward to it? Well, as we've done each week, we're going to work through the Bible, as I said, a little bit quickly, to see what God has to say about this. Basically, and I'm going full on here, I just want to let you know if you're visiting for the first time, we don't talk about Satan every week at church, but we are today, so it's your lucky day, really. The Bible sees psychics and mediums as satanic. Whether or not they realise it, as Gillian said, is another thing, but the Bible sees them as satanic. Have a look at what Leviticus says. This is from the Old Testament. It's from the first 5 books of the Bible. Leviticus 19:31 says, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists. You will be defiled by them. I'm the Lord your God. That's one of the milder bits of Leviticus. Leviticus is part of the law God gave to ancient Israel about 1000 BC. You know, in other parts of Leviticus, it talks about stoning mediums and spiritists to death. We don't live under that regime anymore, praise the Lord. Otherwise, I would have been stoned to death some time ago. But still, this is the word of God. And so the principle behind this teaching very much 100% still stands. So we can say that mediums and spiritists defile God's people. They make us unclean, Leviticus says. Elsewhere in Leviticus, the Lord says turning to a spiritist or medium is like prostituting yourself to another god. You're turning away from God, you're turning to something else or someone else. In fact, in the Bible, when spirits other than God speak, they're always attributed to Satan. Satan, in Hebrew, which is what the Old Testament is written in originally, means adversary. And before he was Satan, before he was adversary, the Bible says he was one of God's angels. He was part of God's good creation. He was created by God. At the end of Genesis 1, it says God created all things and they were very good. Satan was part of that good creation. But somewhere between Genesis chapter 1, where God created all things good, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, where this random serpent appears on the scene, Satan became the adversary. He became the rebel. and he led a rebellion against God. And from that point onwards, Satan acts in the Bible to lead people in rebellion against God. In Genesis 3, he speaks through a serpent. I can't click over. There we go. He speaks through a serpent to convince the woman not to listen to God. He kind of reveals that he knows some truth to her. This is how Satan works. He works through half-truths. But we know that half-truths masked as whole truths are no truth at all. This is what Satan does. He gives half-truths to the woman, and the woman is sucked in by them. He manipulates the truth, and he turns her away from God. In Mark chapter 8, Satan does the same thing through the Apostle Peter. Jesus has just told Peter that he's going to have to die, that he's going to have to be handed over to the Romans and die and then rise again. And Satan works through Peter to say to Jesus, don't listen to your father's plan. Don't do it. That's ridiculous. But Jesus is onto it and he says, not listening to you, mate. Satan always works to turn people away from listening to God. In the book of Acts, in chapter 16, he speaks through a young woman, giving her the ability to tell fortunes, making money for her owners, and stopping people from seeking the truth about God. So the reason Leviticus is so anti-medium and anti-spiritist is because it thinks they're actually real. It thinks they're legit. It doesn't think they're just charlatans and con artists. And Satan is working through them to keep people from listening to God's truth. There's this weird account in 1 Samuel 28 where King Saul, God's chosen king at the time, having disobeyed God and ignored the words of his prophets and the warnings of his prophets, he finds himself in hot water. Everything God said's coming true against him. So he goes and he consults a medium in the Tower of Endor. A medium, if you don't know, is somebody who, you know, hears voices from the dead. She's commonly known as the Witch of Endor to some of you who are collecting the cards. Anyway, he asks her to summon the spirit of Samuel, the prophet, from the dead so that he could get some guidance. But when the medium speaks, he gets no guidance. In fact, God himself intervenes and he pretty much says to Saul, hey, mate, it's all happening as was predicted. Because what God said actually happens. That's how it works. Don't be a fool and come and ask a medium for a different message. You've already been given the truth. It's happening. You have to deal with it. Basically, God's saying, you can look wherever else you want for the truth, but you will not find it. You only find deception. Because that's what Satan does. He seeks to deceive you to turn away from God. As far as the Bible's concerned, psychics and mediums aren't all con artists. There's actually a satanic element to it. I've been hearing a lot of stories about the New Age in the lead up to this talk. It's freaked me out. But the other day, in fact, if you talk to Gillian for any more than half an hour, you almost need counselling because she has seen a lot of things in that crazy world. Anyway, the other day, somebody told me of a friend whose dad was dying. And this girl, in the lead up to her dad's death, she talked with him about mediums. And they decided they'd come up with a password so that if she ever went and saw one, they'd know it was legit. Or more to the point, they'd find out that it was a con, right? This is the sort of thing that I would have done with my dad before he passed away because we're so sceptical. We would have been like, this will make a fool of them. Anyway, her dad passed away and sure enough, she goes and sees a medium. And what do you know? The medium couldn't come up with the password. Just kept stalling while she was seeing her. Couldn't quite understand what your father's saying. He can't get the word out. But just then, as the girl was thinking of leaving the medium said to this girl, does your dad have a stutter? And she said, yes, he does. And then she said, just hold on. It's Angelina Jolie. And the girl was like, it is. You know, I've heard lots of really spooky stories like that from people. Not crazy people either. Where there's just no other explanation. I mean, it's not that mediums have kind of gone all CIA and have hidden cameras and microphones in every emergency bed, you know, across Australia, or they're not sitting outside palliative care taking notes in case somebody comes to visit them. There is no explanation for these things other than some kind of supernatural element. This girl did have an Angelina Jolie tattoo on her hand. No, she didn't. But we want to believe that, don't we? We want to believe that she did have a tattoo, that she walked in with, you know, Who magazine in a bag and they're on the front cover. But none of that actually happened. I think the Bible would say that's because the message, the word she was hearing, is actually from Satan. And just like with Eve in the Garden of Eden, he gives enough of the truth to keep hold of her, to stop her from looking for the truth elsewhere. He gives her a half-truth dressed up as a whole truth, which is no truth at all. I think we can say psychics and other spiritists can definitely be legit. Not all of them. Some of them are just con artists. I think the bloke who gives the 80-page report. They may feed you bits and pieces of the truth, but it's all part of the age-old practice of Satan to keep people from listening to their creator God. So that means if a friend or a family member shares a story with us about a message, as my friends and family have, or a reading, we don't just inwardly roll our eyes and write them off as crazy. This friend, this family member, they're possibly genuinely hearing something, but the truth is they're being deceived. They're being given half-truths in order to lead them away from the whole truth, and they don't realise it. Obviously, we want to pray for our friends and family that God would keep them from Satan, and that somehow, maybe even through us, they may actually be led to the peace that they're seeking. Now, the reason Satan doesn't want this, the reason he wants people to turn away for guidance other than, to places other than God, is because in listening to God, they will hear something they will not hear in any other place. They'll hear the message of salvation. Have a look at part of the passage that Felicity read out before. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, his young apprentice. "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." There is nowhere else you can look to be made wise for salvation other than the Word of God. Satan has been very successful in leading us away from our Creator, not just in the supernatural, but in the mundane, in convincing us that our best life is a life lived without God, a life lived in what the Bible calls sin. Satan's done a great job of leading us all to the conclusion that the only thing that matters is whether or not we're happy. He's actually helped us to coin a phrase, "as long as you're happy." That's all that matters, right? We can hear that message anywhere on earth. Marketers like live off that message, "as long as you're happy. This will make you happy." And being happy is what matters the most. But the message we only hear from God in the Scriptures is that there is, in fact, much needed salvation for sinners in Jesus. No marketing agency is pushing that message on social media. Only the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short. Only God's Word tells us that one day each one of us will have to stand before God as our judge and will be called to account for everything that we've said and done, and the account won't fall in our favour. In fact, the scales will be weighed heavily against us and we will have to bear God's anger for that. You won't find that message in the Courier Mail. That's the message that you find in the Scriptures. That is why Satan doesn't want us to look there. The Bible is the only place that says, instead of that full weight of the scales of justice falling on us, that it's actually fallen on Jesus in our place. And that because of Jesus bearing God's anger against our sin on the cross, if we come to him in faith, we can find forgiveness. The Bible is the only place that says that. Of course Satan doesn't want us to listen to it. His whole mode of operation is to lead people away from God, not to help them to find forgiveness. The Bible's the only place that talks about eternal life and peace with our Creator beyond the grave through faith in Jesus. You're not going to go to your medium and say, I need a message, and the message is never going to be, you need to go and read the Bible. He's got a great plan in store for you and your loved ones. You're just not going to hear that from a psychic, because Satan's mode of operation is to lead us away from the truth. But more than that, the Bible, verse 16 says, it equips us for life. It guides us in what to watch on Netflix. It guides us in who to marry. It talks about our sex life. It tells us what job to take or whether or not to go from part-time to full-time. If we come before the Bible in prayer, asking God for guidance for our life, God actually speaks to us through it. The Bible's called the sword of the Spirit, and it works through our lives, not just to point us to salvation in Jesus, but to tell us our best life now. Of course, Satan does not want us to listen to that. But the truth is, he may be able to tempt us and deceive us, but he can't stop us from coming to God and from seeking his truth. Because at the end of the day, Satan's just a creature, subject to the unfathomable, incomprehensible power and authority and wisdom of God. And so if we turn to God, he'll flee. He has no power. We're secure in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Satan wants us to turn anywhere other than the scriptures for guidance because he knows their power. In C.S. Lewis' book, The Screwtape Letters, which was written just after World War II, C.S. Lewis says in his preface, there are two equal and opposite errors to which our race can fall into about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased with both errors and hail a materialist, that is someone with no regard for the supernatural, and a magician, that's someone who's engrossed by the supernatural, with the same delight. So we don't want to delight the devil, and that means we don't want to dismiss Satan as a fantasy. We don't want to dismiss people who get caught up in the New Age as fools who are naive or crazy. He's real, and he works to lead people away from God's truth, and he's very good at it. And he works in the supernatural, and he works in the very boring parts of our ordinary life. But we don't want to be fascinated with the devil either. We don't want to live our lives in fear of him, because he's absolutely just a creature subject to God's authority, and if we come to faith in Jesus, our enemy the devil will flee. So as we finish up, if you're looking for security about your future, if you want peace, inner peace and eternal peace, turn to God. He offers you grace, forgiveness, new life. Turn to him for guidance for your decisions. And for your friends who crave guidance, who need salvation, if they share with you their experience about psychics, maybe it gives you a chance to do what somebody did for Jillian, and that's to actually pray for them. My cousin said to me a couple of months ago, oh, I just went and saw my psychic. She's got a psychic that lives near Tolga on the Tablelands, right? God works in mysterious places, apparently. So she goes and sees a psychic because she wants to talk to her mum, because her mum passed away when she was 2. And my cousin's like 36 or something now. And you know what I did when she told me that? I just inwardly rolled my eyes. But you know what I should have done? I should have said, you know, I had no idea you were still so troubled about losing your mum. I should remember to pray for you about that. Next time I'll say it, if she's brave enough to share it with me again. Just in the little things that we say, we can actually help point people to the peace they're searching for, but we'll never find anywhere other than God. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us the truth in your word. Forgive us for settling for half-truths. Lord, thank you that you offer us forgiveness, new life, eternal peace through Christ. And Father, thank you tell us the best way to live. Help us to listen to you and help us to prayerfully and lovingly point our dear friends and family to you as well, that they might know the eternal peace on offer through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.